Tonight we're going to have some faces new and old on the call. I'm really excited. Some of you haven't been here for weeks, and some of you have never been here before, and some of you are on every call. So I really appreciate every facet of your attendance tonight. And I'm just super excited to have you all here and be talking about self-love and this topic that I think all of us could use some support and some tribe time talking about and sharing about. So I'm really excited to launch into this. And I'm just going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to click the slate here. So we will have some late joiners, which is totally fine. And Lauren, I'm going to kind of speak to you here, but I speak to anybody who is new on these calls. And I'm just going to do a kind of a rundown of what to expect here tonight. So we're going to go ahead and do first introductions, which essentially means your name, where you're from, and then something you're grateful for or something that's going well. So we'll do a round robin of introductions just so we all can, you know, meet each other and know where we're at, not only geographically, but kind of in our week, what we're grateful for and what's going good. And then from there, we're going to go ahead and do a progress report. So for those of you who have been in the program or are one-on-one clients of mine or both, an update from what's going on, like what's going well, what's challenging. If you haven't been here in a while, that's totally okay too. Like what's been going on in the meantime and what are some things that are going well or things you've learned or, you know, what are you challenged with right now? Just any kind of update related to life on purpose or to the journey that we're all on. I always love to get a progress report, so to speak. And there's no right or wrong. Like sometimes the best shares and the best progress reports are what we're struggling with. So this isn't like the expectation of like, yeah, I totally ran the marathon and kicked ass. It's, you know, anything from, you know, I'm really having a hard time with brushing my teeth this morning to, you know, I have no idea what my values are. So anything progress report wise is welcome. And then we're going to go ahead and do a check-in around self-love. So some of us, I'm myself included, not so long ago, like I had no clue what self-love or self-compassion or self-esteem. I was kind of out of the loop around that, not only the vocabulary of it, but also what it actually meant. So I want to do kind of a check-in around like, what does self-love mean to us or you, or what are you, you know, challenged with, or what have you learned about self-love that's helpful? So we're going to do kind of like a pre-diving in check-in around self-love, and then we're going to dive in. So amidst all of that, I'm happy to answer any questions. If anybody wants some hot seat laser coaching or Q&A, awesome. Let's do that. And I really want this call to be interactive. I've kind of been weaving that in more so in the last couple of calls, wherein if somebody says something that, you know, one of you resonates with, which happens a lot because usually if one of us is like having something that's up for us, the others of us do too. I want to welcome a share around like, yeah, I can totally relate. I'm going through that as well. Or, you know, I just went through that and this is how I handled it. So I encourage shares. I encourage crosstalk insofar as like supportive crosstalk. But I do want to kind of put a pin in, like, we're not trying to fix each other, right? We're not trying to tell each other like, oh, like you need to do this, or this is what I did and you need to try that. It's more of like relating and being able to share with each other our journey and our experience in a constructive way. So, and then we're going to launch into the self-love part of the call tonight. Excuse me. And because I just launched module 4, and there's a lot in it, I want to give you all time to dive into that and digest it. And so I'm not going to do a lot of overlap with the actual like module content itself. I'm going to highlight some of the themes that I think are super important to focus on, but I'm not going to like verbatim go through all of it. You guys can go through the module. It's life-changing. I'm not even kidding. I spent the last 20 years of my life, but especially the last 4 weeks of my life, like books and ebooks and audiobooks and all sorts of stuff, just like distilling down what I think, at least, are the like core principles of self-love and self-esteem and self-compassion. So you guys get to go through all of that. God, I wish somebody would have done that, for me a few years ago, but that's what I'm here for. So that is to say that I'm not going to do a lot of overlap. I will highlight things. And then what I'm really excited about is, again, making this more interactive and share-based. So relating to the themes that I mentioned, I'm going to be inviting us all to hang out and talk, as though we're like around a bonfire or hanging out at, I don't know, like in the park or at the wine bar, whatever. So let's launch in. That's the overview. So does anybody have any questions before we get started? What is that? Okay, cool. And I'm cruising through this quickly because there is a lot to cover. I'm talking fast. So if I'm going too fast or if anybody has a question, just cut right in, interrupt me. All right, so introductions, let's start with that. I will start, so we're gonna do name and where we are in the world and then a gratitude for ourselves or life or anything at all or something that's going well for us. So I'm Fawn and I'm so grateful to be here with all of you. I am currently in Puerto Vallarta and I found this amazing hotel that I'm kind of addicted to now because I've been staying in the jungle for so long and I don't have Wi-Fi really in the jungle. So I found this beautiful hotel and now I'm like, oh, I need Wi-Fi. That means I have to go to Puerto Vallarta and stay in my favorite place. So that's where I am right now. It's Rivera del Rio and there's the river down here in the sunset and it's beautiful and there's nowhere else I'd rather be right now but here with you ladies doing this. So that's the intro, and I'll pass the top sequence here. Lisa, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, everybody. I'm Lisa. I am up in Sandpoint, Idaho tonight, and I'm grateful especially for the beautiful weather that we've been having coming off a long, long snowy winter. And it's been just the beginning of, you know, springtime, summertime. Soon it's going to be too hot. So I've been getting out on the land, got in a couple of camping trips. I've been getting out with my daughter. And that has just been really good for my soul. I spent a long, long winter working many, many hours and have some time off. So I'm really grateful for having a little bit of time to take care of myself.
Yay. Yeah. Yay. Awesome. Springtime. I'm so glad that you're giving yourself the gift of spending that kind of time with yourself out and about in nature. Yeah. Good for you. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Lauren, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Lauren.
Awesome. Hi, Lauren.
My Wi-Fi is a little bit bad. So if I'm laggy, I apologize in advance. I am in Chicago and I really echo what you said about good weather. We had a very long winter as well and we just went straight to summer. We didn't have spring at all. And I haven't adjusted to it yet. I haven't gotten to spend as much time in nature yet. So that sounds lovely and I want to do that now. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful, yeah, just for the weather and for May.
Yeah. Yay. Awesome. Thank you for that. All right. Katie, would you be willing to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Katie. I am in Santa Barbara, California. I'm grateful for this call tonight. I'm looking forward to getting back into being more consistent with my kind of self life coaching materials and, you know, being better with, you know, keeping myself surrounded with, virtual cheerleaders and, the weather here is always nice. So I can't really relate, but, yeah, it's been, incredibly nice the last couple of days. So,
Yeah, awesome. I was jealous of that sun hitting your face right now.
I know. Both you and Fawn have got like the evening sun on you.
Yeah, it's coming to you both soon. All right. Well, thank you for the intros, ladies. I appreciate it. excuse me. For those who will be joining late, I won't have them do intros. I might have them just do their names because I think there's a handful. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. All right. So thank you for your intros. So this call and this module, probably the most important shit I will ever teach. Like, homie to homie, ladies, this stuff is the most life-changing content that I've produced, but not that I'm producing it, because it's literally me distilling, you know, centuries, ages, millennia of literature, of wisdom, of humanity. But this is the core of our Hell Yes life, which is why we're all here, right? We're all here to explore, discover our Hell Yes life. And there's all this stuff, there's all this stuff, these other modules, there's so much more we're going to learn and have learned about our Hell Yes life. And it's all important and it's all applicable. And the whole reason I created this course is because I spent at least 20 years of my life figuring this stuff out. And I'm like, nobody should have to spend that long figuring this out. Like, I'm going to distill this down so y'all can like hopefully integrate it more quickly. And not that it's about time, but it's about, I think, at least like efficiency. You know, like, our lives are short. So if I can humbly provide and do what I love most, which is research and help others to live their Hell Yes lives, then that's what I'm going to do. So with this module, the self-love module, this is the core of everything. Our relationship with ourself is the core of everything. So there's all these like sayings of like, you know, within is so without, right? And if you don't love yourself, then you can't love your life, or you can't love anybody else. All these sayings out there, especially in pop culture. Oh my God. And especially on Instagram, like lately is in the last couple of years, you know, just these memes, which I think is beautiful. I think it's great that there's a lot of attention and conscientiousness around self-love and like being your best self. But there's just not a lot of, how to around it. There's not a lot of context around like, how do I go from struggling with confidence and struggling with identity and struggling with beating myself up and struggling with, you know, my life not being what I want it to be? How do I go from there to actually like feeling good about myself? So this module was my best attempt, at least as of so right now, to respond to those questions and to address and to actually meaningfully create something that will be helpful. And there's no fluff in module 4. There's no like, I'm just going to throw that in there because I need to make it 30 pages instead of 20. No, like everything in this module is, at least from my point of view, supported by the research, supported by spiritual leaders, supported by kind of the most leading edge insights on self-love. So I just want to make that clear because I've taken so many courses where I'm like, why did I just read that? Like, it's like not necessary. So at any rate, I'm saying this because I invite all of you to really dive into the module, dive into the questions. It's the longest module so far. It's packed for a reason. Again, our relationship with ourselves is the core of our Hell Yes life. So if I'm not Hell Yes about me, I'm not going to be Hell Yes about my life. There are so many examples of that. I mean, look, so many examples where people who seem to have it all, right? Like millionaires, billionaires, celebrities, like you name it. And they struggle. They're having a really hard time because their relationship with themselves isn't, it's not, It's not hell yes. So for me, the most important thing that I can share with you ladies and support you in doing, hi Sarah, is hell yesing this part, like the me part, right? Like I love myself. You know what, I'm human and I mess up a lot and I do silly things and I look back and I think, you know, some of the things that I've done are ridiculous, but I still love myself. And that's the relationship that we're going to be talking about tonight. And that's the whole point of this module. This really is the centerpiece of creating your hell yes life. So yeah, I hope I have emphasized the importance of all of this. And I'm not going to reiterate a lot of the content because it's in there and you can do it on your own time. But I will be highlighting some themes so that we can kind of come together as a tribe and talk about them. So, all right. So my dears, one thing I do want to say too, because there are new members joining and future members who haven't listened to these calls yet on the recordings. One thing I do want to mention, and especially for a call like this, talking about self-love, is that everything that we talk about on these calls is confidential. And I take that very seriously. The only exception is that these recordings are available to future members or members who missed the call, can't be on it live. But everything we talk about is confidential, and that's super important because we're going to be inviting a lot of vulnerability and a lot of honesty in sharing what comes up for us around self-love and self-esteem and self-compassion. So I just want to make that very clear that this is a safe space. It may take a few calls for you to feel comfortable and know that to be true. But hopefully for those of you who have been on the calls, you know, multiple times or even just once, you know that this is a place where we can just be like, yep, this is like, this is what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling and like, ooh, and it's all good. And we're all here to hug and embrace each other. So little caveat, but super important. Okay. So I'm going to open the floor for a few minutes here and check in with you ladies before we kind of dive into the self-love highlights that I'm going to cover. And I want to ask you, and we'll just kind of round robin this or like raise your hand if you're welcome or if you're okay with sharing. What is your relationship with self-love currently? Insofar as kind of in a broad spectrum, like I have no idea what self-love is, or I think I love myself, but I also am really hard on myself, or man, I just feel like I am the circus ringleader with the long whip and I can't stop like, you know, getting off my own ass and like giving myself a hard time. Or I have no idea what you're talking about, Fawn. Like, I love myself. I always have. Like, any aspect and any, you know, any degree of self-love is welcome. I just kind of want to check in and see if anybody would be willing to share, like, kind of where they're at with it before we get started. So, yeah. Does anyone have any questions about that before I open the forum, open the floor? Okay. So would anybody be willing to volunteer and share or ask or just kind of throw out there where they're at with self-love? No, Katie? Awesome. Thank you. Go ahead.
I understand the concept and, you know, I've read articles and, you know, all the books that we've been assigned to read or that you've had me read, you know, talk about it a lot. And I understand it, but I don't think I'm, you know, quite there yet. I'm pretty hard on myself and I still struggle with like putting people on pedestals, even though I don't even know them and comparing myself to other people a lot. So, I am hard on myself, especially if I'm like working towards a goal. If I'm not, and I'll compare myself to even myself in the past too, like if I'm not in as good a shape as I've been in the past, or if I'm, you know, not being as brave as I was in the past, like I'm, you know, I'm pretty hard on myself and, I don't talk to myself very nicely. I know you're supposed to like, you know, if you wouldn't say something to somebody else, like, why would you say it to yourself? Like, oh, I look fat today, or, you know, this outfit looks terrible, or I look awful today, you know, stuff like that. I think that stuff about myself all the time. So I feel like it's maybe getting a little better. Just with like my I am statements that I repeat in the morning and a couple other tips I've picked up from books. But it's still kind of hard. Like, I still don't really accept myself for like just, you know, exactly how I am at this moment.
So there's a challenge or a kind of like a miss about around the acceptance part of accepting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for sharing that. Super common. Totally hear you. Yeah. Especially what you were just saying around the way that you talk to yourself, like the inner voice, right? That inner monologue of being critical and having kind of a struggle with getting out of that loop, right? Getting out of that pattern of negative self-talk. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. So I'm taking notes and we're going to loop back to these shares in a little bit, and we're going to do a progress report in a moment, ladies, just so you know the chronology of things. But thank you so much, Katie, for sharing that. And hopefully we can kind of dive into this with the toolbox at the end, because there are some tools that I think could be helpful here. So thank you. Would anybody else be willing to share kind of their here and now with self-love? Questions or status? Okay. Hi, Courtney. Courtney just joined us. Awesome. So I'll share a status of my, like a couple of my self-love triggers, which we'll be talking about in a moment here, shame triggers, which are related to self-love. So shame is one of the things that takes us out of self-love, right? Shame is this feeling of there's something wrong with me. Like, I am wrong. Not that I did something wrong, which is guilt, which Brené Brown differentiates in her books and her research, but shame is there's something wrong with me. I am wrong. And before I read this literature, I was blown away. I'm like, holy crap, this happens all the time. This shame thing. I thought I was doing pretty well, you know, like, in terms of caring what people think, I thought I had gotten to a point where I was all right. But then I read her research on shame and I'm like, oh my goodness, like, okay. And so lately I've been really paying attention to my shame triggers, which things that make me feel ashamed of myself. And they're everywhere, especially, I'll use this example because it's so relevant. I was in this very room a couple of nights ago recording the audio for the module, and it was, gosh, like, what if I'm being too loud? Like, what if the people, you know, and I'm talking, you know, it's not like I'm yelling or screaming at the top of my lungs, but this kicked up and I caught it and I was like, oh my God, like, I am totally shame triggered right now. I'm really conscientious and like worried if I'm being too loud at 6 PM talking in a hotel. So shame is really related to and usually triggered by like what we think other people think of us and if we're like accepted or not. So anyway, that's an example of like my self-love. In that case, I was kind of separated from it because I was handing over how I felt about myself to the hypothetical other people who would be bothered by my recording of the module. So that's kind of where I'm at with the self-love thing, just to share with you all. And we'll get into this in a moment. But shame for me, and once I'm learning about it and have learned about it, which is why I put this in the module and recommended Brené Brown's book. Once I started learning about shame, I was like, oh my God, like, it's everywhere. And once we know about it, once we're aware of it, and once we're aware of our shame triggers, then we can do something about it. Then we can be like, oh, whoa, come back to myself, be compassionate and love myself. So that's what this is all about. Does anybody else want to share a kind of here and now around self-love before we do like a progress report and then we're going to hop into the content? Status reports, questions around self-love. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Katie, for sharing your status around that. So let's do a kind of a general progress report, and then I'm going to go ahead and move into the highlights around module 4 and the themes around self-love. So for those of you who have been in the program for its entirety or have been clients of mine for a while, feel free to share anything like this: I've accomplished this, or I'm having a hard time with this, or I have a question around this, anything progress-wise. I just want to kind of open the floor for us to catch up around anything that we're implementing or have learned, or breakthroughs especially, or hurdles or challenges that we're facing. So opening the floor for that. Anybody be willing to share? No progress reports or updates? Okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hi, everybody. I guess I've had a bit of a breakthrough this spring because I decided that I really need to get myself out in nature. I worked up at a ski resort all winter long, and I came out of it feeling completely nature deprived, because even though I was up on top of this beautiful mountain, I was just nose to the grindstone. And so now that I've got a little bit of time off, I've just made it a priority to get out, take walks. I went and got my flowers. I'm starting a little garden, and this is really a big shift for me from where I was at last year, where I was completely shut down. And, and it feels good. It feels good to take care of myself. I've just had to let myself be where I've been coming out of a divorce, and I feel like I'm getting a little bit of wind under my wings. And, with the help of this course and lots of other things that I've studied over the years, I feel like I can prioritize trying to find all the good things about myself again. And it's energizing. It's like just taking that first step and gifting yourself with a self date. Mm-hmm. For me, it's baby steps, but it's been really, really energizing and just a really good reminder that I can be good company for myself.
Yay.
So that's been really good.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Yay. So happy for you. I know how, this last year has been. I mean, you've been on these calls since October, and you've shared so much of your journey with us. And I'm so grateful that you are feeling rejuvenated and giving yourself what you need, and have taken the space and the time to ask yourself what you need and kind of just go through it and hold the line for yourself. And now, knowing that nature feeds you, you're getting out there and camping and enjoying the spring, and that brings so much joy to my heart. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Would anyone else like to share an update or a progress report, or maybe their feelings around needing nature right now or nature feeding them? Yeah, Katie, go ahead.
I just got back from a work conference in Portland, and I kind of made it. I wanted to make it into like a little mini vacation for myself too, because I've never been, and I was really excited to go. And I love eating, and it's a super foodie town, so I was really excited to try all the food. But I was going on my own. It was just a conference that I found and kind of presented to my director, and it was approved and everything. So I was a little afraid to go just because I was going alone, and I tend to be very anxious going into situations where I don't know anybody. But I connected with a couple people online, so it was really fun, and I met a lot of really nice people, and everyone at the conference was like very accepting and very open. And they kind of in the beginning, they give like an opening spiel of like, this is a safe place. Like people in tech, I work for a software company, can be pretty egotistical, thinking they're, you know, really smart and really great. So they really hammered home that, you know, this is an open space, like be welcoming, you know, be respectful of everybody. So I really liked that. But it went well and I did a lot of things on my own and I, you know, took myself exploring and just met some really nice people. So I'm proud of myself for, you know, making the most of the trip and, you know, getting everything out of it that I was hoping to. So that was a good step for me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's an amazing step for you. Good job, Katie. That's so something to celebrate. I am so proud of you, honestly. Like that's a really big thing, I think, for anybody to put themselves in a new situation where there's so many variables and people and it's, you know, related to a specific industry and you're in a new city. And the fact that you sourced that and made it happen for yourself and made connections and went exploring, that's amazing. Good for you. Yeah, that's stretchy and you stretched into it and it sounds like you're feeling good about it. Yay. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Would anyone else like to give an update? And for those of you who haven't been on the calls before, you're just starting the program. Like if you don't have an update because you just started, that's okay. You can share anything like maybe why you're here or what you want to learn or just questions or comments. So I'm going to keep the floor open for a moment. Any updates, Alana? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for those progress reports. I appreciate it. Module 3, and I'm not going to mention any names, Module 3 impacted a few of you quite a bit in terms of, holy shit, I'm not my thoughts. Oh my gosh. Like once you start watching your thinking and the monkey mind and the chatterbox that's happening and realizing that that's not, you know, that you can zoom out and be the observer. I'm just going to say, I know that impacted a few of you quite a bit. And so I'll progress report, I guess, in a general way for those of you who don't want to speak up about that. But I feel very proud of you all for being willing to go through that exercise of who am I? And sitting with your thoughts and having the experience of like, oh my gosh, like my thoughts are just swimming through me. They're not actually reality. Ah! And from that place, and the reason that I put that module in is because that's kind of like the pre-foundation to the self-love module. Insofar as once we realize that we're not our thoughts, that means we're free. That means we get to choose who we want to be, right? That means we get to take out the old tapes and the gremlins and the shit that's been like keeping us back and separating ourselves from our self-love. And now we get to put in the self-love and the self-esteem and the self-compassion tapes, which then create our hell yes life. So I'm just going to do kind of like a group progress report right there. Little plug for module 3 and applaud those of you who did that module and who have begun a consciousness practice and or a meditation practice of any kind, excuse me, watching those thoughts and capturing those gremlins and the allies as well. Allies are important. So if you have no idea what I'm talking about, module 3 will be revolutionary for you, hopefully. Okay, so any questions about module 3 now that we are dun 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 starting module 4? Going once, going twice.
Noticing I just want to say that the analogies that you gave about the costumes and the storage unit really helped me kind of find a different perspective to get my head around how our thoughts really are separate from us. So
awesome.
Thank you for that. And if anyone hasn't checked out module 3, that's, it's really worthwhile taking time to listen to. Because awesome. That is such a revolutionary thought that we are not our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
As I quote a thought that I just had, right? A lot to get your head around. And so Anyway, those were awesome analogies. Thank you for coming up with them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you for the feedback on that. I'm so glad that connected for you.
Yeah.
Diving into all of that when I was getting, like, being coached and also doing my own kind of philosophical inquiry, but specifically taking a couple of courses around neuro-linguistic programming and getting my certification in aspects of that, this light bulb went on. Because I'm obsessed with costumes, and I'm like, oh my God, wait, like, this is it. Like, this is our central consciousness is wearing costumes all the time. Like, boom. So I'm glad that connected for you. Mm-hmm. And one day, ladies, my intention is to have one big costume party with all of you in some exotic location and really drive these themes home. So, mm-hmm. But Lisa, thank you for offering that up. I really appreciate that. Okay. So I'm going to turn a light on real quick because I'm noticing that I look like a floating head in the middle of a room. One second. Okay, that seems to be better. Okay, ladies. So, self-love. Raise your hand, no pressure. Raise your hand if self-love is confusing or challenging or just a mystery for you in some capacity. I'm just going to do one of these. Okay, all right. Yep. Okay, so we are not alone. Yeah. Self-love is a mystery, I think, for most people. And there are reasons for that. And I don't want to go too much into the reasons why, because it's more important to focus on the what to do about it, which we're going to get to. But I will speak a little bit to the why, because it's important for me to let you all know that it's not your fault. And by that, I mean our divorce or our breakup or our separation or our confusion or our mysterious situation with self-love is the result of a culture and a human experience that has essentially not known any better, but deprogrammed self-love out of us. Or another way to say that is programmed us to be hard on ourselves, to put a lot of pressure on ourselves, to put conditionality on ourselves, meaning I'm good if I'm successful, or I'm good if I'm pretty, or I'm good if I'm skinny, or I'm good if I'm funny, or I'm good if I get good grades, etc. And I'm bad if I'm anything less than what the outside world says is good or acceptable. So we've been really well conditioned to have a relationship with ourselves that is with the changing of the tide, right? It's very volatile. It's not stable because we have learned to externalize the way that we feel ourselves. So over time, and it's nobody's fault. Oh, can you guys hear me? Can I get a hand? I just got a little memo that my internet's stable. Okay, thank you. So over time, the people who trained us, right, our trainers, as Don Miguel Ruiz calls them, they did the best with what they knew how. I honestly believe that, with the exception of some like sociopathic weirdos. But people usually, everyone's doing their best, right? But the people who programmed the people who programmed us were programmed by the people before them and programmed by the people before them. And so we're working off of, or they were working off of some old, antiquated, whatever that culture agreed with at the time, or whatever the global religiosity, you know, whatever was going on. It's humans tend to repeat, right? Humans tend to be programmed by the humans before them. So in some ways that's great, right? Because we've learned some pretty useful skills by having to relearn what our ancestors had to. But in other ways, that's really harmful and detrimental because we're taught some shit that doesn't work, right? We're taught things that actually are more harmful than they are good. And the separation from self-love, it's not necessarily like anybody said, like, don't love yourself. Unfortunately, some religions do kind of drive that in. But it's more of give your love away and base yourself worth off of what other people think of you. So again, like, are you getting good grades? It starts usually with like any number of different ways, like from the time we're born, essentially accepted or not accepted, right? And so as social creatures, if we're not accepted, that scares the crap out of us, especially when we're kiddos, because not being accepted means that we could die, evolutionarily speaking. So we learn to play by the rules. We learn to behave in ways to gain the approval of the people around us. And what that does is it makes us take our own spirit and our own sense of, like, when we're children, like, we don't think there's anything wrong with us. Like, nobody told us that there was anything wrong with us. We wouldn't think there was anything wrong with us. But we take that part of us that's like free and free-spirited and infinite and you know, just completely true. And we have to learn to like compartmentalize that and shove it down and, heaven forbid, like lock it away so that we can like play the monkey game of whatever our circumstances or environment want from us. So I'm speaking of this in kind of dramatic terms right now, but it happens to any degree from being completely shut down to just like in subtle ways shut down. Like, oh, like, you know, you have the most loving of parents or the most amazing teachers, the most amazing school or friends, but in subtle ways, the media even gets in there, right? And it's like, oh, if you're not a size, if you're a size 2 or above, like, I don't know about you. Or if you don't get perfect grades, like, you're, you know what, you're going to be poor for the rest of your life. Like, society, there's just all these like angles that come in and just like kind of like crush in on us. And so we start to be hard on ourselves, right? So we learn to treat ourselves the way that the external world is treating us, because we're like, okay, well, I obviously just can't be me. So I need to be hard on myself so that I make sure to not fail, so that I make sure in the eyes of the world, right? So then we start to beat ourselves up. Like, I'm not pretty enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I better do 70,000 bench presses this week, or I'm going to have the floppy arms, or whatever it is. And we start to become our own ringmaster. So we're taught from these external forces, and then we internalize that, and we start to put it on ourselves. Is this making sense? Does anybody have any questions before I shift? Okay. So this is a little historical context. There's more about this in the module, of course, and then also in the books that I reference and recommend. But I'm saying this, and Jen Sincero says it so well in her book, where, like, it's not your fault you're fucked up. It's your fault if you stay fucked up. And as kind of brash and crass as that is in such a Jen Sincero way, it's true. Like, it's not our fault that we're fucked up. Like, we have literally been trying to, like, just buoy above water in so many ways when the rest of the world has been trying to like keep us like, you know, just feeling crappy. So it turns out that doesn't work. It turns out that that doesn't work well at all. Not only based on our own self-measurement of how we're feeling in general, like bad about ourselves or anxious or depressed, or jealous or insecure, right? All of these feelings are the symptoms of this disease that has been pounded into us. So not only is this the way that we've been programmed dysfunctional in that way, but as it turns out, based on the thank goodness research of Brené Brown and Kristen Neff and other people in the fields that they study, turns out scientifically that this is the polar opposite of what's actually like healthy and what actually creates a thriving relationship with ourselves, which that is the seed of creating a thriving life, right? Like, what, so within, so without. So we're going to be working on what to do about this, right? So the sentence where she says, like, it's your fault if you stay fucked up. So now we get to be responsible for our self-love. Because based on the research, which I won't go into because it's all in the module and in the books I recommend, the being hard on ourselves thing and the competition thing and the comparison thing, I don't call it comparisonitis. My coach taught me that term, but comparisonitis, the being the ringmaster and the, you better, you know, just being hard on ourselves doesn't work. It turns out that in fact is far more detrimental than it is productive and helpful. So what is helpful is being loving toward ourselves and having esteem and having compassion for ourselves. So those are the three themes, obviously, of the module. And so it's science at this point, thank goodness. I think psychologists and spiritual leaders, you know, it's been known for a long time, but thank goodness science is now like supporting it and saying like, yeah, here, like stop being a jerk to yourself because it's actually not good. So I think the best or the most like digestible way that in all of this and the module and everything I've researched, the most relatable and digestible way that I was able to like, okay, I kind of get it now, is to think about someone that you love very much. Like somebody, your child, your partner, your parent, your cat, your like anything in life that you are just like, oh my, like feel all of those really positive feelings toward, like somebody or something that you have such a reverence and such a positive rapport with, and they could, you know, miss the goal 25,000 times and you still would be like, hey, like you're all good. Like, you know, you're an amazing person anyway. Like somebody that you hold in that regard, that's just so precious and sweet. And those feelings that you have toward them, and the way that you would treat them or do treat them, and the way that you would or do interact with them, to turn that on yourself and to relate with yourself in that way. That is self-love, and that is self-esteem, and that is self-compassion. And it's very simple, I think, a very simple thing, but it's not easy because we've been programmed to treat everybody else like that except for ourselves. So is this making sense so far? Does anybody have any questions? Good. Okay. So I'm going to turn the light up actually a little bit more. I think I'm getting darker by the moment. One sec. Okay. Thanks for your patience on that. Okay, so knowing that it is destructive, harmful, and a barrier to our hell yes life to be hard on ourselves, we can give ourselves a permission slip to say, you know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. It's kind of like driving in a car with three flat tires. We can give ourselves permission to either go get a new car or fix the tires. Like we just don't have to do it anymore. We can give ourselves permission to scientifically, even if it needs to come to that, like, oh yeah, being hard on myself means that like, it's like, I'm making like life is a lot more difficult than it needs to be. So whatever you have to do, and I think this is my first invitation. And maybe I'll open the floor to this right now too. My first invitation would be to make a choice right now. Like, if you haven't already, make a choice right now, a contract, if you will. One of the things that my coach had me do years back was actually write a contract out of, I am going to love myself unconditionally. And at the time when I was writing that, I was like, this is so stretchy. Like, how the fuck? But I did it. So there's a line in the sand with anything in life. There's a line in the sand, whether it's deciding to quit our job, whether it's deciding to go for our hell yes life, whether it's deciding to have a child, whether it's deciding to have a smoothie or a beer, or, you know, there's a line in the sand. We get to choose. And this is something I'm going to talk a lot about in the next module around self-responsibility and agency. But this is the most important decision that we get to make, I think, is I'm going to choose to love myself. I'm going to do my best starting now to start loving myself. And Fawn created this self-love toolbox in this module to help me start implementing self-love. And I'm going to start doing it. So I invite you all right now to make that choice in whatever capacity, or tonight maybe, to make that choice for yourself and make that commitment. As though, and some self-development, especially women leaders, do this, go as far as to do, like, to marry yourself. I'm not going that far right now, but in essence, it's the same of I'm going to love myself and I'm going to work on this relationship like I work on the other relationships in my life that I prioritize. And I'm going to treat myself and begin to foster a relationship with myself first and foremost before even those others in my life. So I invite you all to do that, and I'll go ahead and open the floor to volunteers right now. Who is willing to do that? And or what's coming up for you ladies as I describe this, like any resistance or any excitement or any, like, anything at all, confusion? Yeah, Sarah, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, so a couple of things came up. First, when you talked about how it's healthy to do it, I know that one of my core values, which I talked about last module and I've spoken with you about it, is my health, and how that's just so important to me. And I didn't realize that all the beating up I do of myself is hurting me. So that really struck a chord with me. And then I am totally afraid to make this commitment because I don't want to, I don't want to fail, and I just don't want to let myself down. But I know that I need to make that commitment because if health is important to me, which it is, then I need to go with it. And I need to actually give myself permission to fail and stumble along the way. Cause that's what it's about. Right.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. So this is so relatable. Thank you so much. It's so meta because even inside of you, your desire to make this commitment, there's this fear of failure, right? And this fear of letting yourself down, which is exactly what I'm speaking to right now. Like, that is the programming that there's even failure is even possible, right? Or letting yourself down is even possible. Self-love is, there is no failure. Like, there is no letting yourself down. Like, self-love means that you are focused on that value, and that's all. Like, focused on self-love. And it's just doing your best and stumbling or forgetting. I mean, all the time, like I just mentioned at the beginning of this call, I'm not sure if you were here for this, but when I was recording the audio for this module, I was up here shaming myself because I was concerned if the people downstairs could hear me. Like, what? You know, I catch myself all the time. This shit ain't easy. It's a practice. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But Sarah, thank you so much. And what I invite you to really embrace is that there is no failure. Like, it's unconditional. And it's a focus. It's simply a focus on the value of loving yourself. And when you catch yourself floating off into sabotage landia, just, oh, there's a thought. There's a gremlin. I'm beating myself up. And come back. That's why I did the, you know, module 3 first around watching our thoughts, that you can use that to be like, oh yeah, that's just a thought. Like, it's not true that I'm a failure. Like, it's not true, you know, like that's a gremlin. And to come back to the focus on the value. Because we can't do both at the same time. We can't focus on the value of self-love and also the gremlin of self-defeat or self-shame, right? We can, thank goodness, our minds can't do both at the same time. So when it does come up, when the fear comes up or when the sabotage comes up, to just like, oh, there it is. I'm going to refocus on the value. And over time, as we've talked about a lot in all of this course forever in coaching, is the more we catch ourselves and reorient, the more we begin to embrace it. The more our subconscious and our conscious and our reality begins to be focused on that. Just like any habit, like if I'm playing the piano and I'm playing a C chord the wrong way 100 million times, right? Relearning that, I'm going to have to catch myself and be like, oh, but eventually I'll relearn it. So self-love is the same way. Like we're dealing with some serious programming here. And the only way to reprogram ourselves is to be conscientious and conscious and be aware when we are being hard on ourselves and shift over and like, okay, I'm just being a dick to myself. I'm going to go over here and be nice. Does that make sense? Is that helpful?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah,
would you be willing to share anything that resonated or made sense for you?
No, just again, reiterating, like, I think it was Lisa who said it earlier, or was it Katie, just about the thoughts and like gremlins and, you know, you hear yourself all the time. Like, I hate talking on the phone in the office because there's 10 people around me. And so I'd rather just let it go to voicemail and then reply with an email instead of actually having to have a conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, oh, I don't want to disturb anyone around me.
Right.
So it's stupid. And meanwhile, I have to like deal with 20 different conversations around me and it's fine. I just put my headphones and work, life goes on. Just again, taking those thoughts and those gremlins and just recognizing them for what they are, that they're nothing, and push them aside. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm thank you so much for that share. Would anyone like to share anything, relatability with what Sarah said or a question or a...
Yeah, I can share.
Yeah, Lauren, thank you. Go ahead.
Something that you said earlier that resonated with me was that we put our relationships with other people as a priority. Mm-hmm. I do that so much. I take my relationships in my life really seriously and put a lot of care into them and mm-hmm. Energy and effort, and that's a priority for me. Mm-hmm. But I don't do the same thing for myself. You said, I'm addicted to myself. For me, putting it that way, that like I'm already doing this all the time with other people, I really mm-hmm. I'm, you know, prioritizing that, those relationships. I can do that with myself too.
Thank you for that share. Boom, that's excellent. We are so trained to, and look, there is nothing wrong with loving other people, doing things for other people, like, you know, being about other people. There is nothing wrong with that. Like, obviously this is my life's passion to help others and to be there for others. But it's detrimental if we're not also doing that for ourselves. So I really appreciate you sharing that and connecting that for yourself. And yeah, it's not mutually exclusive. It's in fact even more fun when we're loving ourselves and when we have our oxygen mask on, then we can be like, hey, let me help you put your oxygen mask on, and you know, so on and so forth. So thank you for that share. That's awesome. All right, anybody else? Your relatability or share?
I have one.
Go ahead.
To ask of all of you is, I know that when I'm grappling with my relationship with myself, you know, I'll have a great day and I'll think, oh, I'm on track. Yay. Thank God. Finally. And when I'm in that space, I really try to connect with how it feels so that I'm trying to, I think that you've talked about this, Vaughn, so that I'm can consciously grasp what's happening in my brain and the neural pathways that are being laid down to try to get that inside of me, not only on a physiological level, but on a feeling level. And like, yeah, this is awesome. This is what it feels like to love myself. And then the adverse of that is just checking in with when you're having a rough day. So how does this feel? And finding some kind of comparison, you know, if you're having a bad day and you're beating up on yourself, just realizing like, wow, how does this feel? This doesn't feel good. Rather than feeling like, oh, I'm out of control, this thing's got a grasp on me, whatever. It's like just realizing like, this does not feel good. And for me, I'm trying to integrate more of that feeling of just that conscientiousness and awareness of the feeling that these states of consciousness bring into my life.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for bringing that to the group. I so appreciate that. Yes. That awareness and checking in with labeling it, which is a great tool in meditation and just any sort of awareness practice, is like, I'm feeling really good right now. Huh? Let me pay attention to that. Right. Almost like I hear a song I've never heard before. There's my favorite song. I'm going to pay attention to that. Like, oh yeah, there's that chorus and there's that part. But like really paying attention. And then, yeah, that reinforces our subconscious and our conscious mind. That's like, oh, this is feeling good. Okay, great. And then if it's feeling bad, noticing that and just noticing what that feels like. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah. And you found that to be helpful, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm trying to get more in the awareness habit of just noticing.
Yeah. It's where it starts. It's not only where it starts, but that is the practice. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah. 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 And I mean, I've been working on this stuff for a long time, as many of us have, and the noticing is still something I need to, every morning, as I talked about on our, I think, last call, where the first thing I do in the morning is I do my consciousness practice, and the circus rolls through town. Like that noticing of like, blah, 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 like, check your text messages. Is there a snake in the house? Oh, listen to that rooster. I'm living in the jungle, so there's a lot of stuff that goes up. But like the circus is just like, ah! And I'm like, wow, guys, this is impressively hilarious. But yeah, so the noticing practice, I think the reason it's a practice is because just like with like muscle strength, if we stop doing it, then things start to go awry or adrift again. So hi, Kitty. So yeah, thanks for mentioning that. Also, in neurolinguistic programming, this is known as anchoring. And one of our tribe members, Patricia, she really took this to the next level. I think I mentioned this a couple of times in the calls, but she actually got a ring that was an anchor that says, I get to, because she had been struggling with feeling like, oh, I have to go to work. And I don't want to share too much of what she was have-to-ing on herself. But she got a ring that was an anchor. So this is also referred to as anchoring. So memorizing when we feel really good creates this anchor so that when we are feeling crappy or when we're self-sabotaging, we can kind of pull up that anchor and go, oh yeah, like I'm going to take a minute, anchor back into feeling good. Like we're memorizing it just like any skill that we have. Like we don't have to think about it when we sit down to type on the computer. We just know how. So when we continuously anchor into positivity, we can access it a lot quicker. So does that make sense? Does anyone have any questions? It's kind of a offshoot, but related. Okay. Thanks for that, Sherlisa. I so appreciate that. All right. So I'm seeing that we have 20 minutes and we have hopefully a better understanding of how all of this happened. I know I am being brief on this call in essence. Again, I don't want to be redundant because there's so much in the module and in the readings, but so we got here. It's not our call, what can we do about it? It's super important to love ourselves, because if we don't, we're going to feel like shit, and anything we create in our lives is not going to be an honest representation of ourselves. So we're going to now talk about and dive into the self-love toolbox. So I'm going to continuously add to this toolbox, but what's there is what came up for me in terms of what I have personally implemented in my life. So I can stand behind every one of the tools, but also things that I've learned in a lot of workshops and reading and coaching that I've had. So let me guess, would it be more useful to talk more about like the challenges and struggles of self-love and like what's going on there? We can totally go into that more. Or are you curious about like what to do about it? Actually, let me do a vote, because I'll tell you to chime in and I'm not going to be able to understand you. So raise your hand if you would like to talk more about like any questions or challenges or confusion around self-love. So you can definitely keep going into that. Okay. Who would like to ask a question about anything? Okay. And who would find it useful to talk about what we can do about this whole situation of being hard on ourselves? We got one, two, yay. Okay. Majority vote. Unanimous vote. All right. Excellent. Okay. So the toolbox begins, the key to the lock of the toolbox is the commitment to loving ourselves, right? We can't unlock the toolbox if we're not committed to doing it, which is why I encourage all of you to say, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to start tonight to love myself. And there probably will be a lot of gremlins or doubts or any number of crosstalky things that come up around self-love, like, you know, just all the programming is going to come up, just to let you ladies know. The programming is going to come up, the gremlins are going to poke their heads out of the freaking cave and try to sabotage you from opening the self-love toolbox. And I just encourage you to know that when you commit to this and when you say, I'm going to do my best, like I was sharing with Sarah, there is no such thing as failure. There's no right or wrong. This isn't going to be 100% of the time I'm kicking ass at my self-love tools situation. This is just doing our honest best. And that's really what life is, right? That's really what we're up to here, is doing our honest best. We're human. And that is the condition, as Susan McMahon in her quote, Kristen Neff. And I quoted this in the module, but we're human. And sometimes we expect ourselves to be some sort of like, I don't know, alien robot who's perfect all the time. And, you know, because that's what we're trained to think we're supposed to be. So when we let go of that whole perfectionism bullshit and we remember like, oh yeah, I'm human and I'm programmed by this crazy, amazing, beautiful, complex world, and I'm a result of it, then we can be more compassionate around the process of learning to love ourselves again. So it's kind of a, I don't know, deep way to say that there's no wrong or right way to go about this. The way to go about this is to go about it. So the self-love toolbox. So the more that you use these tools, the more you'll notice a difference, for sure. Different tools work better for different people. But the point here is the practice. The practice of it. And this probably sounds redundant, but it's true. This is just like anything else in life, like lifting weights or eating well or breathing air. Anything that we repeat strengthens, right? So practice equals results. So we can come visit the toolbox once a week. Yeah, sure. That's kind of like going to the gym once a week, right? Maybe we'll feel differently. But if we visit the toolbox every day, maybe one of the tools every day, or just open the toolbox and say, hey, I'm going to play with this one every day, then we're going to notice some awesome, awesome shifts pretty quickly. So the, I didn't even ask you ladies, who has had a chance to look at module 4 yet? And it's okay if you haven't. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Okay. So yeah, thank you for that. I know I just launched it a couple days ago. So in module 4, the toolbox, I think one of my favorite things, because it's an actionable thing, is the self-date that I talked about earlier in the program a few months ago. But I always encourage us all to take ourselves out on a date once a week, intentionally, to do something we really like for an hour or more, just with ourselves, just to take ourselves out on a date. So that's one of my favorites, which is why I mentioned it first. You know what? I just had a novel idea. If maybe one way we could go about this, because I was just going to kind of talk about some of my favorite tools, but they're already in there and I already wrote about them. So let me actually field this to you ladies. If anybody wants to name a particular struggle, and maybe this, Katie, would be a perfect time to talk about what you had mentioned earlier, with the self-talk. And can I use your share from earlier, Katie, and kind of work with you and talk about some tools? Is that fair? Okay, awesome. So let's talk about some tools that might be good for your challenges. So you had talked about comparing yourself to yourself in the past, not talking to yourself nicely. And is there any like gremlin that's particularly like, or barrier to self-love that seems particularly strong or particularly like, does that make sense?
Yeah. I think just not having, just, you know, consistently not feeling like I'm like qualified or good enough, especially as I'm like, you know, I'm in the process of job searching. So, you know, it's kind of very up and down in my self-love, or, you know, like, I guess acceptance of myself seems to be too tied to like experiences and not just all the time. Like when I was at my work conference, I was like so happy and, you know, hiking and just exploring a new city. It was great. And then like I was getting ready in the morning and I was looking at myself and obviously I was like eating a lot, but I was loving it. And I was like, oh, my arms look fat. Like that's gross. You know, just these little thoughts like pop up here and there. So I think I have trouble like tying my acceptance of myself more to experiences. But I think just consistently like feeling like I'm, you know, not thin enough, not smart enough, not outgoing enough.
No, you
those chose. Things seem to come up repeatedly.
Okay, you froze for a second. Shoot.
Oh, sorry.
Can you hear me? No, it's probably my connection. You guys can hear me? Okay. Could you just, I'm sorry, mention that last part of what you had said? I heard the acceptance side to experiences, but I missed the full part of the last part.
I think the things that come up most frequently, like the negative thoughts or gremlins, is like when I'm, you know, not thin enough, not smart enough, or not outgoing enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. Thank you for that. Okay. So the thought of, or the story of, I'm not smart enough, I'm not outgoing enough, I'm not enough in some capacity, something like that. Okay. All right. So enough for what?
For someone to hire me at their company, for someone to, I guess, like me as more than a friend, want to be in a relationship with me. For someone to want to put in the effort to like be friends with me, if it's somebody I just met, like as opposed to me having to work hard to like be friends with them. And then just like comparing myself to, I guess, you know, even friends. Like I have, this is silly, but I have this, you know, bachelorette party coming up and we're going to be in Palm Springs and we're going to be sitting by a pool in bathing suit the whole time. And like, I don't want to do it. I just really don't want to do it. So that's something that's causing me anxiety. And it's a bunch of girls, a lot of girls that I've never met. So that's a little anxiety inducing as well.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Who can relate with aspects of what Katie's sharing? I just want to ask this before I move on. Yeah. Yeah. All of us, Katie, like we are. Yeah. Like so many of almost everything that you have mentioned here, like I relate to and like all of us do in some capacity. So it sounds like there's a critic, and tell me what you think about this, but it sounds like there's a critical voice inside of you that's like kind of with a, you know, one of those like clipboards that's like, okay, Missy, you're not good enough to be a friend. You're not good enough to be in a relationship, right? Like it's kind of like has this tally of like what enough is for that, right? Is that kind of how it feels? Or it's like, yeah, well, you missed 4 questions on the test, and so sorry, you're not enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that's so relatable because again, that's what we've been trained to, that's what school is essentially. It's like, well, you got an A if you got them all right, and you get a C if you get 2 wrong or whatever, depending on your college or your high school. So it's normal that you would feel this way. I just want to let you know that that's totally understandable. And what we can do with these thoughts and what I would invite you to do is to, first of all, actually, I'll field this to you, Katie. What would it feel like for you, or what would it be like if you if someone that you love very much were saying these things to you? Like, I'm not enough to be your friend. I'm not enough to be in a relationship with. Like, if somebody was saying this to you, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
How would you feel about what they're saying, and what would you tell them?
Well, it'd be very hurtful. And I would be like, how long have you felt like this for? You know, like, why are you saying this now? You know, is this how you really think about me? You know, that sort of thing. But it would not be, it would make me feel really, really bad about myself, and probably really ashamed
about yourself if they didn't feel like they were good enough to be your friend.
Sorry, I was turning it around. If I said that to somebody else,
If somebody else was telling you, sorry, I'll play the friend, right? Sure. I'm telling you, and you love me a lot. This is kind of funny right now, but you love me a lot. Let's say, like, I'm a friend or someone you have in your life that you love a lot, and I'm telling you, Katie, I don't feel like I'm worthy of your friendship. Like, oh, I don't feel like I'm any good. Like, I'm kind of crummy, and I don't actually, you know, that trip we were going to go on and have a good time. Well, I don't really like the way my hiking shoes look on me, and I think that there's something wrong with me for that. Right. So if I'm saying this to you, how would you feel about what I'm saying and about me?
I probably like wouldn't understand why you would feel like that, or what, you know, what made you feel like that in the first place. It would probably just be like confusing. And then I would be sad because it makes me feel like you wouldn't want to be my friend, and you don't want to go, you know, do all these things with me because of something that I don't know, you know, where it came from, sort of thing. So.
Mm. Okay. So it would even turn back around to like, you did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I was feeling bad about myself.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's try this from a different angle. So how would it feel or what would change for you if you... if you didn't have any conditions around accepting yourself, like if there weren't any conditions around that, how might that change this enough thing? So like that I'm not enough thing.
Will apply to the, you know, the situations that I mentioned. I'd probably be just be excited for everything. Because I wouldn't be focusing on myself. I would be focusing on, like, hanging out with all these people. And the, I mean, I would be, I guess, a little bit focusing on myself. But it wouldn't be, like, about how I'm scared to do these things or about how I'm feeling about myself or thinking about what other people are thinking about me going into the situations. Mm-hmm. I would just be, like, excited to be there. And, you know, I would feel like... my presence was, you know, appreciated, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a pretty big, sounds like a pretty big difference in terms of the experience of it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So what would it take for you to let go of your conditions? Or maybe another way to ask mm-hmm. that is, why are you holding on to your conditions?
Well, at this point, I think it's just a habit that's ingrained in me from forever and just, you know, being in, you know, certain situations that have made me feel like I'm, you know, less than or that people don't like me for a certain reason. So I have to watch what I say or, you know, make sure I'm saying the right thing or acting the right way sort of thing. So I honestly don't really know what it would feel like or what it would take to just kind of let it go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you tried that on before? Tried like letting it go, like experimenting with, I'm going to let go of my conditions for a little bit.
I think sometimes it just happens naturally, like I kind of forget to think definitely. About it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like when I was out of town, I, you know, no one was there that I knew and I was in completely new surroundings and I don't know any of these people. So like, doesn't matter what they think and I'm here to learn mm-hmm. and, you know, make connections and stuff. So, it was a little bit freeing in that sense. But I think it's harder to let it go in like very familiar surroundings mm-hmm. because like I'm kind of like in my routine and I'm at work and I'm around my, you know, regular friends. So, mm-hmm. and like, this is my like reality. So in a sense it matters more when I'm out and, you know, like traveling or something, it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of like trying on a different me sort mm-hmm. of thing. Costume concept.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it matters more when you're in your normal reality.
Mm-hmm.
In that environment. Uh-huh. Okay. Tell me a little bit more about how it matters more. I have an idea here, but like, why does it matter more? Like, what's the difference between I'm traveling and I'm going to try on a new me versus like I'm going to try it on here in my life?
I think maybe just because I'm here, I'm, you know, trying to maintain like the life that I have, the status quo. I'm not trying to like uproot everything and make sure like I still have friends, make sure I still have a job, make sure I'm, you know, keeping the peace with my housemates and that sort of mm-hmm. thing. Not that there's anything like they're great, but, I don't know. For some reason, it feels a little more freeing to like be in like a totally unfamiliar situation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It may, no, it totally makes sense. Thank you for unpacking that and bearing with me with my questions. excuse me. It makes total sense. It is a lot, like, if nobody knows you, it's like, all right, I'm going to go out and dress like Lady Gaga, you know, whereas they're like around town, like probably, I don't know, probably not going to do that. So, and obviously that's an exaggeration, but I hear you, like I think it's more close to us, and we're more vulnerable with our close environment, right? Brené Brown talks a lot about vulnerability, and it feels like we have a lot more on the line in our own kind of bubble, because our sensitivity to shame or shame triggers or judgment or external, you know, like all of that, it's closer to us, right? It's more raw perhaps. So, but I love what you're saying. And I think you unearthed possibly a tool, a really great tool to start trying on. And again, like, these tools don't work unless we practice them, but I heard in the subcommunication of this that letting go of your conditional relationship with yourself would feel freeing, and you would enjoy it, and you wouldn't be thinking about yourself. You'd be enjoying the situation. And you get to, you can do that. Like, you can do that. And I'm not trying to oversimplify or be like, oh, Katie, just go not care about your swimsuit situation. You know, like, I totally get it. But that might be a mantra or something for you to keep in pocket, in your toolbox. And this is related to actually a lot of the tools in the toolbox that I had written about, but, trying on a baby step of, I love myself unconditionally, or I choose to be detached from conditions, or I am enough because my enoughness is not conditional. Right. And trying on these new ways of thinking, that's at the root of it. And we have to work these muscles, right? We have to, like, put these new tapes in. But what I heard you, like, I heard you say the gateway to your own freedom a moment ago. And I'm going to hold the line for that, because you literally said, and this is so beautiful, that if you didn't have conditions, you would really be enjoying yourself. And so, yay. So knowing now that that could be a gateway to freedom, a gateway to self-love and self-compassion and self-acceptance and self-esteem, knowing that, then what baby steps can you take to letting go of conditionality? Is this making sense? I'm kind of crossing a bunch of different concepts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts around that?
It sounds hard just because I think I'm so used to, you know, being conditionally happy with myself. Like, if I look in the mirror and I like what I see one day, great. If I make somebody laugh, or if I have a good conversation or something, I'm like, oh, that was great. And then it ends. So it's like, okay. But, yeah, I think it, right. I mean, it's obviously just going to take practice, because it's been, you know, years of this. Mm-hmm. So,
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that and for bearing with me and kind of exploring this more. I know we're at time, ladies. So as much as I would love to continue being in this with you, Katie, and exploring it a little bit more, that was great. Thank you for that share. And you have the power of choice, and yes, it will take some reps and some practice, but it gets more natural with time. Just, I mean, you're an athlete, Katie, like, you're an amazing athlete. You're a soccer player. You're training for a half marathon. You're an incredible athlete. So I know that you know how to build your muscles. I know that you know how to train, right? And it's just a lateral translation of your decision to train your self-love and to be able to say, you know what, like, I didn't make any jokes at that dinner party, and I spilled my glass of wine on that girl in the white dress. And you know what? That's hilarious. I'm so human. I still love myself. So to check that story of conditionality, and just those little micro decisions of like, I'm not going to be hard on myself right now. I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to be like, shit, I'm human. Okay. Coming back around. It's all good. Again, I'm not trying to oversimplify it, but the more you practice those muscles, the more they will come first nature. Thank you for speaking to all of that. I very much appreciate it. So thank you, ladies, for hanging over time. I've got a while, but I'm not going to expect you all to hang out with me over time. First of all, if anybody has to go, thank you so much for being here. You're welcome to hop off. No sweat. If you'd like to stay, I invite you to anything that Katie just processed through, mentioned, shared, anything I shared, any questions, anything at all. I want to open the floor to reflections on that. I'll go ahead and do that now. If anybody wants to. Yeah, Sarah, thank you. Go ahead.
So I was listening to, I think, like a TED talk today or TED radio hour, and they were talking about emotions and how it's, you kind of train to assume how somebody is feeling, but you don't actually know how they're feeling. Like somebody could have just a straight face and it's not because they're bored. It's because they're really processing or thinking. And so I was thinking about that. I'm like, oh, okay. So just thinking about what Katie was saying and how it's so much more difficult and scary to kind of change who you are at work. If you're always kind of like, I know I'm always quiet in a meeting and I'm like, oh, I have so many things that I could say and I could do this and I could participate this way, but that's not who I am here. So I'll just stick with what I've been doing and not rock the boat. But then when they were talking about the emotions, I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting because I just assume that I'm really good at reading people. Anyway, I get back to work and one of the people on my team, she's like, oh, Sarah, I put an Advil on your desk because in a meeting earlier, you kept touching your head. And so I figure you just really have a bad headache. And I was like, oh, okay, that's really nice. What is she even talking about? I'm like, I just parted my hair on a different side and I feel like going crazy. And so I was like, just consciously like trying to keep it down. But when Katie, when you were talking and you're like, oh, you know, just again, what I said earlier about, but that's not who I am with those people. And it's so much more freeing to be whatever I want to be when I'm with strangers, because there's no expectation. I just kind of got like a little bit of a light on where I'm like, I think it's okay if I am different at work, because I mean, today it just reiterated the fact that nobody can truly see. Everyone is making their own assumptions on who you are based on their own story. And so again, that just kind of came out to me. And then the other thing is the book that we read for this module, Live Yourself or Die, or I don't remember what
Love Yourself. That's great. Love Yourself Like Your Life Depends on It. Yes. That's pretty much, yeah. I like your title better, actually.
So I don't know if anyone else has read it yet, but basically he's like, I just woke up one day and decided to tell myself again and again, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself, I love myself. So I'm like, oh, like I can get that. I can actually do that when I'm trying to sit with my thoughts and they're going crazy. Like I can do that. So I've been doing that for the last 48 hours. And I walked by myself in the locker room today in like my gross Speedo swimsuit, and the light in the locker room, you know, it's awful. And the mirror is awful. But I've been doing this. I walk by, I go, oh wow, I look good. My skin's glowing. I look really good. And then I'm like, what? And then like the gremlins absolutely pounced. But I'm like, really? I think I can do this. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. I love myself. And just like go from there. So, there's some hope there. There's some light.
Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Sarah, thank you for all of that. Hell yeah. So I'm just going to enjoy the rest of my laugh around that chair because it's so relatable, honestly. Yeah, thank you. So Katie, do you want to reflect anything back from Sarah's relatability to you? I want to mention something to Sarah about what she just said, but I want to give you, Katie, a chance to say anything back if you want to.
Yeah, I think she probably put it into better words than I did about, like, this is who I am in this place. So that's kind of what I'm going to stick with. That's definitely how I feel about, you know, work or at the gym or, you know, whatever. But also, like, I think I was on a run the other week and it just hurt so bad. I hated every minute of it. And so I was just repeating to myself, I was like, I love running. I love running. I love running. I love running. Like, for like 20 minutes. And I don't know if it helped or not, but it replaced the other thoughts in my head of like what a horrible time I was having. So.
Yeah. Excellent. So what you just mentioned there and what Sarah touched on too, self-acceptance, and this is in the module. So this, all of this isn't about like, you know, oh, I should be different, or I putting a bunch of pressure on ourselves to like change right now, or like see ourselves as faulty. Accepting ourselves means that we're like, yep, this is me, warts and all. And, you know, this is me right in this moment at work. This is me in this moment with my significant other or my cat or whatever, and accepting that. Because if we don't accept that, then we're basically telling ourselves we're wrong, right? Or there's something wrong with us. So accepting ourselves, yes, yes, yes. So I love what you all are saying about, or what you guys are saying about that. And then from this place of self-acceptance, we can also be like, okay, well, I'm going to keep being this way. And I know that I'm going to start trying on some new things too, kind of slowly or like baby steps. Not because there's something wrong with me, but because I'm curious about what would change or how I could feel better if I try these things on. So anyway, there's more about that in the module too, about self-acceptance. That's a big one. That one confused the shit out of me for so long. I'm like, how do I accept myself, but not like endorse or enable myself to be late? I didn't get it. there's more on that in the module. So, okay. So Sarah, what you had mentioned around, the assuming what other people think, right? Like, that's great. We're going to talk about that in the module about relationships in a few weeks here. But one of the things for the program was the four agreements, and Don Gilruiz talks about making assumptions, right? And to take that a step further, it sounds like you've been listening to some research around the emotional reactions we have to assumptions, right? And it's such a trip because most of what goes on in our head we react to emotionally isn't even really happening. Like, it's not even fucking going on. So I just really like that you spoke to that. And I think that is helpful when we're feeling vulnerable in front of other people. Like, what are they going to think of me? Oh my gosh, like my forehead's greasy right now. And what if I have a booger in my nose? And it's like, maybe they notice, maybe they don't. Like, Barbara probably doesn't notice that my earring is the wrong color, you know? So just reminding ourselves that what we think other people are thinking probably isn't really what they're thinking. And even if they are thinking it, like, who gives a flying fuck? So there's more about that in the module as well. But thanks for speaking to that. Okay, so we're rounding over time. Again, I will hang out here as long as you ladies want to hang out, but I also am mindful of everybody's schedule. We're all over the country and in different time zones. So does anybody else have a question or relatability before we go ahead and do some takeaways, and then we'll segue out. And then I'm happy to hang out if anybody has any extra extraneous things that they're curious about. But yeah, anything question relatability wise right now? Okay. Okay. So is this stuff making sense? How are we doing? I hope so. So dive into the module. Email me if you have any questions. Again, this material is specifically chosen. It is hand selected. There's no fluff or filler or shit. it's all like, man, I wish I knew this a long time ago kind of stuff. So I hope it connects for you ladies. I hope it's helpful. And let's go ahead and do a takeaway, something that stood out, an insight, a thought, just anything from this call that stands out to you. And also let's do a takeaway around, we'll do two takeaways each. So one is insight from the call in general, and then also let's share something that stood out from what somebody else shared. So let's start. Are we all willing to do that? Hands in the, paws in the air. Mirror, mirror. Cool. Okay. So Lisa, would you be willing to start the takeaway round? There you are. Awesome.
What's really coming up is it Sarah who just popped off? I'm sorry. Is it Sarah mm-hmm. who just left us?
Yes, that's Sarah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sarah. Mm-hmm. What she was talking about, and it's relatable to what Katie was saying too, is just these assumptions that we make about how other people are seeing us, thinking about us, perceiving, you know, what their perception is of us. And it's so easy mm-hmm. to just mind fuck ourselves to death over mm-hmm. this without all based on an assumption. And that is such a saboteur. I mean, that,
right?
It's so, you know, that's one of the gremlins is I'm going to decide for you what you think about something. Which is one of my pet peeves. Boy, when people do that to me, don't mm-hmm. even care. And yet here I am doing it, you know, from the mm-hmm. other side. And I think in my situation, because a lot of my insecurity is coming up around, you know, trying to co-parent. And, you know, I tell myself that I'm being judged and perceived a certain way in the way I'm mothering or in the way I'm being, you know, the ex, that I can really get myself in a tizzy about it. And then it comes out on my daughter or I, mm-hmm. you know, or I end up acting inappropriately as an ex by not respecting boundaries the way I should, wanting to keep control. And usually that's all just coming from things I've decided are happening without clarifying it with anybody. I mean, it's hard with my 11-year-old daughter. I can't just be totally straight up with her. It's a lot of it's too complex for her to deal with. But, you know, I can just be forthright, as we all can in our relationships, and just ask people, you know, what do you think? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking? Can you give me feedback? Rather than relying on ourselves to just read the situation and decide for ourselves based on dysfunctions, what's really going on. So I'm just being reminded of that. And I've had a lot of anxiety about that kind of stuff. And this is both my takeaway from what I'm getting out of the conversation or what someone offered. That's just good to be reminded that we can't operate on assumptions.
Yeah.
It really hurts our ability to love ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And underscoring that. That was an amazing theme that came out of all this. So thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Katie, would you be willing to do a takeaway?
Yeah. What just came up about, what we were just talking about assumptions. I definitely am guilty of, you know, assuming how people are going to feel about a certain situation, you know, rather than just asking them. And I think that probably holds me back a lot from, you know, being my, you know, feeling more free to be my like authentic self or, you know, and then again, just about, that I, can choose how situations affect me or don't affect me, or, you know, I can choose to be who I want to be. I don't have to like keep being you know, a certain person just because I've always been that person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for that. I'm so glad that that connected for you. Both of those themes connected. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. And Courtney, would you be willing to do a takeaway?
Yeah. So, I guess my takeaway from the call that I got is, like when you were talking about there is no failure in like loving yourself, because I know when you first started talking about it, it was just like a million, like 100 different ways of like, oh no, I'm going to do this and that's what I can't love myself for. Like, I always trip myself up here. I always do this and stuff like that. So then when you just kind of said like, there is no failure, it's just kind of a journey that you just kind of practice and you get better at it and you work that muscle more and more. And then it's not a yes or no, or a you're there, you're not. It's something that you just get better at. That was kind of the takeaway I took from that. And then the takeaway that I took from everybody else is, I think like when Katie was talking about like all the voices, like, oh no, I'm not, you know, no, I can't look good in the bikini with all these people and all this stuff like that. It just kind of was like, yep, that's exactly what I think. Like, you know, that's like, that's reading my brain. And so you just kind of realize that most people are probably thinking the same thing and going through the same thing, which kind of makes you feel better about kind of being around people.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that takeaway. Yeah, for sure. Just to kind of end on this note, actually, that's one of the pillars of self-compassion that Kristen Neff talks about, is shared humanity, reminding ourselves that we're not alone in this, right? That we most likely share more in common than we do different, than we're different. And like, I'm about to hang out with a wedding, literally about to hang out with a wedding party all weekend at a pool, beautiful house with a pool. And you think I'm like, my bikini self is like, ah, like that's happening. But with the tools of like, you know, separating from conditionality and self-compassion, like, thank goodness I have this like toolbox with me this weekend, because otherwise the old me is just like shaming herself into like a downward spiral. So yeah, I think we all, we all can relate around the bikini theme, but I think way more than the bikini theme, just the common aspects of being human. So that self-compassion pillar that Kristen Neff talks about of shared humanity is like, oh man, it's such a relief to like remember, oh yeah, I'm not the only one. So thank you for that share, Courtney, and kind of tying that in and bringing it home. All right, ladies, any questions or comments before we hop off here? If anybody would like to stay, raise your hand. I'm happy to hang out and chat a little bit longer. Okay. You're like, no, Fawn, it's almost been 2 hours of you. I'm good. All right. Love you lots, ladies. Thank you so much for showing up and for being on the call with me. You're invaluable. This experience is invaluable, and I hope you get a lot out of it. And I'm always open to feedback, of course. So email me if you have any questions or comments. Have a beautiful night, and sending lots of self-love from me to you. All right. Good night, ladies. Bye. Good night.